next session, number 10768, reel 3.
Mr. John Granger, Reel 3. You were talking about the orderly's job and mentioned that there was a morning hut inspection. Did you have special kit inspections as well?
Oh, you got a regular kit inspection, and you had to have your kit fit then. Anything wrong on that parade, and you were on the CB.
How often was it?
Oh, you get it probably once a fortnight. A complete kit inspection.
Can you remember how you used to prepare for it? How you mentioned the button stick, for instance, later on when you were transferring.
Well, you had to have your bed and blankets all in perfect shape, all tidy on the top of the bed, of your wood bed, you know, and they were all up against the wall. And then you got to have your your rifle, bayonet. You've got to have all the equipment, full equipment, all polished up and shiny.
How did you polish them up?
They're what we call the pinkies. They had little boxes of a pink sort of. It was solid, and you just spit on your toothbrush. And rubbed it off the top of that, and then that made it a real good polish on.
I presume that was an old toothbrush, not
yours. Oh, it was an old toothbrush.
Not
yes. Yes, no. This stuff, it was like a pink in a tin box. It was a round tin,
and it was. That was for your wearing it, yeah.
All your leather business and that, yeah. All your uniform had to be polished up perfect.
What about your shoes? Was there any secret for getting a good shine?
Oh, shoes were spit. Blacking and spit. You had to have them like a dog's dinner, I don't know. Shining like nobody's business. If you were put on a charge because you weren't anything wrong with you, you see, with what they thought it should be, or if you hadn't had your hair cut or anything like that, they always watched all that business. Well, you got put on, had to get on company orders, and then you get someone a day's CB, you see.
Would anyone did you have any trouble with people stealing things from your kit?
No, not exactly, no. There was only one occasion when I got done in, and it wasn't for anybody stealing my kit. It was one time when I was on the battalion parade. Well, a battalion parade took place once every month. And all the company had to go on that, you see. And that was on the big parade ground. And the major, or the colonel, would come round, one of the senior officers. And if you were ticked up on that parade, well, you were for it. Anyway, this one particular day, I was off duty. If you got exempt from the battalion parade, it were better than your bloody hat, because you only got one of them every for perhaps 6 months. And this particular day, I wasn't on the parade at all. And the next morning, the following morning, they called out any that had been reported for CB. All the names were read out, and then you had to parade at the company or battalion headquarters, as the case may be. So, this following morning, they came across a note for me, and I had to go in.
Your name was called out?
Yeah. So I had to go on. It was battalion headquarters. And I'd been reported for having dirty shoes and two or three things wrong with my equipment. So they read the charter. I was taken properly prisoner, cap off and all the rest of it. sat there in front of the bloody majors. I was still there in front of the major, and he read all this out. They said, anything to say? I said, well, I wasn't on parade. Well, the major nearly exploded. There's two military policemen there, one on either side of it. You weren't on parade? I says, I was not on parade. I was orderly man yesterday. Can you prove that? I says, well, there's only one man can prove it, that's Corporal Gretton, who's the corporal in charge of the hut. He knows whether I was on parade or not, and I know I wasn't. Anyway, I got let off with a couple of fatigues, as they used to call them. Perhaps going peeling potatoes in officer's mess or something like that for a couple of nights.
Didn't you feel that was unfair?
Well, he couldn't. I was right, I know, but I couldn't do much about it. No use being telling them they're unfair in the army. They're never bloody wrong. If you start telling them they're unfair, that'll be a change for them, wouldn't it?
Anyway. How did you get on with the discipline in the army? You know, they're having to do what you're told when you're told. Did that affect you being in the boys' brigade and the rest?
Oh, it made it not much easier for us. Anybody been in the scouts or the boys' brigade or anything, one of those institutions, you got on quite well. They got all the promotions. And you see, in every new regiment, there was lots of NCOs were wanted. You see, I could have had stripes and downs, but couldn't be bothered.
So you didn't mind the discipline, and you could cope with it?
Oh, I could cope with it easy, yes.
What about the lack of privacy? And the perhaps the swearing and other things about army life, how did that affect you?
It was rather peculiar, because we were only youngers, and we were all good sports together. We never used foul language. You never heard that. I'll give you a good example. There was one laddie in the regiment, in ours, and he was from Liverpool, and he was a banker. He'd been working in one of the banks. He was a well-educated lad, but he was the most awkward lad that you could put breath into. When we're out on PT at the day, and they're all going up like that, and he's coming down like that, you see. And the sergeant major, he used to get on sergeant major's wick, and he was very tolerant, the sergeant major, but this one morning, he just lost his temper, and he went and he stood in front of him and he said, you are nothing but a bloody clumsy bastard, you see, something but the bastard was in him. And he stood to attention and never answered him. But after the parade he went to see the company commander, company officer, captain. And they put a complaint in about being called a bastard. It went to the major and through to the colonel. And Sergeant Major William, what was his name? found him, Major William Marshall. He was taken before the Knobs and he was sentenced to a public apology to that lad. And they had a special parade, full battalion parade, on the parade ground this particular morning, and this lad was stood on in his company. And the sergeant major had to walk from the office along the duckboard to the front of the whole battalion and publicly apologise to that lad. And you know, look how they use it today. It's every other word, isn't it?
And he did that then?
Well, yes. He apologised, yes.
What about... You mentioned that there were a lot of Liverpool lads from the Scotland Road joined,
yeah,
and been sent,
yeah,
to. Did they not swear either? Were they not rougher than you?
They were not. We didn't get on there about roughness. I don't know where it is. There was no vandalism then. We never had that. We were brought out. We were brought up as reasonable human beings. And we obeyed the laws of life and everything else.
So... were most of the lads in the same, from the same sort of background as yourself?
They were, yes, all of them. The Liverpool lads were the same as us. There was a little bit of animosity amongst us as regards to football, partisanship, but that was all it was. There was never any attacks made of one another.
You supported different clubs?
So. Well, there was loads of Manchester lads and loads of Liverpool, wasn't there? What do you expect there? That's what they do here now, isn't it? At the present day, they're having fights and knifing one another.
But there was still a sort of friendly partisanship.
Yeah, that's
there.
Right, yeah.
And did you have any special friends? Did you make a lot of friends or amongst the in these early days, I mean, not when you get to overseas, I mean, at Oswald Street, did you get on well with your fellow?
We all got on with one another, yes. There was no cliques or anything like that. Not worth talking about. We're lads together, you see. In the evening, when they had the canteen home, every battalion had its own canteen, and we could go in there and you'd get your rock bun and a cup of tea in there, and there was a piano in, and they'd all get together and have a ding-dong on the piano, because there was not much else to do, you know, apart from that, in the evening time.
No sport.
Mm-hmm.
No sport. Sport.
Sport? Well, we all had plenty of that with football teams and all the rest of it, you know. There's plenty of that. But, plenty of the darts and all that in the canteen. All that sort of thing, games.
Was it a wet canteen? Did they serve alcohol or was it dry?
Yes, had a wet canteen, but no use it. I never drank when I was in the army. I never smoked. I started drinking when I was 40, when I joined the Conservative Club down here. After I was 4 years of age, I'd been married for about 18 years then. And I smoked 40 cigarettes a day, 40 wood bands, for donkey's ages. We used to get a lot of cigarettes free, you see.
Oh, we'll be coming on to that.
Yeah.
how did you get on with your sergeants and NCOs?
Well, you just got to do as you were told, and then you couldn't go wrong, could you?
Were they fair men, then?
Oh, yes, some of them were. Rotters, you know, you get the bad un and you get the good un.
What would make a bad sergeant, for instance?
Well, of course, one that was never off your shoulder. He could put you on CV and all this, put you on dirty duties and all on whatever he wanted to do, you see. He could make a bad sergeant, a bad NCO, could make your life misery.
But there weren't many of them, you see.
Well, if you kept your nose clean, you were all right. You get the odd one.
So what would a good sergeant be like?
Well, you've got to respect him for his stripes, you see. You couldn't go say Tommy anymore, Billy anymore, you know, Jimmy. It was sergeant. They had to give him his rank, you see. So I never gave him his name. It was just sergeant if he was there and you were talking to him.
What about the officers? Did you see much of them while you were training at Oxford Street?
Well, we got, well, they're not only the ordinary officers. You got not only that, sub-lieutenant, you know,
second lieutenant,
well, they'd been, each one of them would be in charge of a company, you see, and then there'd be the other company each, and then the captain, he'd have the battalion, you see, and then the major, he'd have the brigade.
I think the ranks may be a bit out of line there, yeah, but I know what you mean. Did you see much of the officers?
Only when we were on parade. They had their own mess and everything. I was very lucky. I got well in at one period because the man that was doing the company clerk work.
Is this at Oswald Street?
Yes, he went sick. And we were out on parade one day, and a messenger came to our sergeant major, and he read it, and he fell us all in single line like, and he says, anybody here can write his bloody name. He could swear that, but I could. He was allowed to. So I put my hand up right away. He says, well, and two or three more did. Write your names on a piece of paper. You see, so I got a piece of envelope, scrap paper, and I wrote my name, and the other three did. And I looked at the other three, and he couldn't make their signatures out. He says, oh, Granger, that. I said, yeah. He said, oh, report at company office. So of course I just marched off, went to company office, marched in, and there he was, the captain sat there, and I reported. Oh, he says, right, company clerk. And I said, do you know anything about clerking? I said, a little bit, about 4 years of it. Oh, well, they got on marvellous.
What were the duties of a company clerk? You tell us exactly what you did.
Oh, yes, it was. Doing all the records of the day, you see. All the clerical work about the menus and the feeding and all that and parades. All of it, and sending communications from one company to another. Oh, yes, it was quite plenty to do as a company clerk. And making out the pay books for the lads, for the wages. I had to do all that, make the acquittance rolls out. The acquittance rolls, as you call them.
What are they?
That was a wages sheet. The acquittance roll. That was when he got the 3 and 6 every Friday night, you see. But there was plenty to do, and I got along with this captain. He took a bit of a like to me, and he gave me a special little privilege there. I could go in cook out any night I wanted, give an hour on the spud and get me supper. And he used to get some smashing suppers because he was getting practically what the officers were getting, as they were calling it dinner. We call it supper, you see. But we didn't get any yet. We just got the 3 meals. We didn't get any nonsense afterwards. If you wanted anything, you could anywhere near a chip shop, well, you could go and get some chips, but if you weren't, you'd had it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the food. What would you get? What was the food like in Adolfo
Street? Oh, it was good. Quite good,
what
yeah.
What would you get for breakfast?
Well, you get the usual egg and bacon stuff and all that, yeah. Tomatoes, and proper breakfast. And then at midday.
Was that enough? Did you get enough?
Oh, you plenty, yes. You could go and get some more if you wanted it. And then you had a good meal at lunchtime, dinner. Well, a proper cooked meal. Meat, potatoes, vegetables, you know. And, oh, yes, plenty to eat.
What about tea?
Tea, well, it was like a sandwich business or anything like that, or perhaps salads. You should get a good variety of food. Oh, there was no shortage.
So it was good variety and good ingredients.
And good quality, yes.
And well prepared.
And well prepared, yeah.
What about?
Well, we had the women again there in the cookhouse. The women used to came up, all the women used to come to that camp to do the cooking. It was all done by women. And every Monday.
So not the battalion cooks?
No, 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 not the fellas, no. They were all women at Oswestry. And they had their own code, because after so long, you find different ones coming down, couldn't get reach somebody doing it. A family parade. Practically one in every other one was stuck in a family way during the time they were there. But they carry on, we never bothered. Somebody stood, had to go at them, and that was it. But they never bothered. A lot of members of here were never bothered about sex or anything like that. We never bothered about it. I never bothered about it. As I was a game of football, I'm bothered about going knocking about with girls. We didn't bother at all.
Well, let's get on now to the actual training. What about the drill? You said you'd had a good start from your boys' brigade day. Was it the same type of drill?
Yes, you had the full, you know, the marching and all the rest of it. And, we did all PT business, we had loads of that, you know, all this business, running round the field till the knees dropped and all that, and that rifle drill, you see, with your rifles, and to do all that, marching and changing, you know, from one arm to another with your rifle, and all sorts of rifle drill.
Did you enjoy that sort of drill?
Well, yeah, to me, you had to enjoy it, else your life was going to be miserable.
Did you see the point of it? Did you understand why you had to be drilled?
I knew I was being drilled to do a particular job. There's no use going out there or anywhere if you're not properly drilled and don't know how to use your rifle.
What about actual rifle training? How to use it, to shoot it? Well, how were you taught?
Well, you had a range, an internal range. And you used to go out on there so often as you come your turn, is go in there and you do the actual firing, you know, at stomach, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and quick and slow. And you had the targets there, you see.
Was this a .22 range?
Yeah, but, oh, yes, 2.2. No, it wasn't. 303s we had.
But it was an indoor range, you
yes, said? Yeah, indoor, yes.
So it was full powered rifle?
Full powered rifle, yeah. Yes, same. But they were dummies, you see. They were rifles. And then when it comes to your actual course, we actually went, the whole battalion went to Kimmel Park and Rill. You see, we were taken there. Kimmel Park, that was a huge camp, and it was right on the shore at Rill. Yeah. And we went there for a full week, you see, and the range was from the sands right over the sea. And they were at the beginning of the water where you just got to have gunboats on, and you see the big targets were up like that, and when they fired at them, you pull them down like that and put the other one up, and then you signal on that what they'd got, you see, bulls, inners, outers, maggies, or whatever you'd got. You signal on that up and down, or whichever way it went, or, you know, so they could get the score in. And we had to do the full course, you see.
How did you take to rifle shooting? Were you any good at it?
I was first class. Well, I made a lot of marksmen, because when some poor bugger come down and he'd missed a couple of outers, and that was it. Like, he had a pencil, you see, and stick a hole or two in and give him a couple of bullseyes and an outer, you see. I must have made a few of them every time, but I thought, poor so-and-so. But somebody did me a good turn. I didn't get bad figures. If I'd gone about 5% higher than what I got, I'd have got my marksman's signal, you know, They were cross guns on your arm, you see. But I was first class.
What do you think made you a good shot? What was it?
Better look at it, there's a look because when you were lying on your stomach there, doing them lay down there, then up on your knees, and then when we did the 15 round rapid fire, you know, you got your bang 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 15 bloody rounds at one go, you know, and all rapid fire. But Sam, and you know when you fire at the 303 like that, you never fire for the target, you fire for 6 o'clock, you see, because by the time that's gone and you've fired it, your rifle's gone up that little bit, you've got the back fire from it, you see. If you, when you fire it, if you see it move up, you knew. Well, if you fired 6 o'clock, by the time you finish you'd have a bull, but if you fired for a bull you finish at 12 o'clock, you see. So you got to make sure you got on right. I enjoyed it.
Do you think your eyesight was important to coordination, or was it just practice?
No, it was just the practice we got. Mind you, we didn't get a terrific lot of actual fire in the shot with the actual ammunition or anything like that. We didn't need it. We just got the drill, and we knew how to use them. And we got lectures, you know, about the bullets and everything else, and how they were fixed. See, we used 303s, SMLE 303. Jerry used Moses 302. You see, and their bullets were smaller than ours. You see, which was godsend for us, because we could use, they couldn't use our bullets when we got to France. All spare ammunition, we could use all theirs, but they couldn't put a 303 in the 302 Mauser. So we had a great advantage in that.
What about bayonet fighting? Did you do any training in that?
Well, yes, we had that, we did that. We were dummy things and all on the big racks and all that business, but I never saw anybody fight it.
Was it an important part of the training, though?
It must have been. I don't know. I don't know what it was any good for. Mind you had to have your jabs and all this and everything in there and foot on and out again, all that. Well, and you had to be tearing into these dummy things and screaming, you know. And
screaming? What's the...
Just screaming mad, as if you were trying to scare somebody, you know, like a bloody war cry, more or less it was. There's 20 or 30 all screaming like that together, and the rifle bayonets going in, you know, in, out, foot up and all. You got your five or six moves, you see, with the bayonet. You had to get off perfect, you see.
What about hand grenades? Did you get any training in them?
Oh, yes. We all got Mills grenades. We could use them when we got out to France, easy enough. The Millses.
How did you practice?
Slinging them.
What, did they have a range?
We had a proper place there. For them, oh yes. Man, you didn't need much, you just a bit of a field, and you got your 90 yards there.
How far could you throw them?
Well, the maximum was about 90 yards for a Millses bomb.
And what did you manage?
As far as my bloody arm would take me. Once it had gone on any interest in it, if it got anybody, you could help them.
Did you practice with the live grenades?
Yes, yes.
Was there any accidents?
No. They weren't actually live grenades, no. They had the everything in, but they hadn't got the detonator in.
Well,
without the detonator, it was no good.
So you just practiced throwing dummies?
Throwing dummies, and, you know, letting the lever go, and then 8 seconds, and then bang, out they go, you see. God help them. And then, but when we were in France, I went on a special course.
We'll come back to
that. That's right. I've got two good ones in there, the egg bombs. We had out there, but I've never seen anybody that's seen them. Not me, but I went on a special course for them. I'll tell you all about that one.